Ask that you would just bless our time, Lord, that you would bring us closer to you, Lord, as we get into your word, as we are here together in this place. And just bless each one. Speak to each heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to get into chapter 16 of Proverbs and do a little, I don't know, introduction to what I want to communicate tonight that the Lord's laid on my heart. So we'll get to Proverbs 16 here in a bit. As people around the world, we sleep, we work, we relax. We enjoy food, games, sports, books, many things to take part in. These things, we plan out our day. Or we simply let the day happen. And whatever comes up, that is what we find ourselves doing. So these plans come from our hearts, our minds, or who we are. Now we can narrow that group of people down to people right here in this building. And our minds, our hearts, our beings are still busy processing information. We're considering the day that we just spent, or maybe we're considering sleeping after we leave this place because we're tired. Maybe a worry of this life, this earthly life, is heavy on our minds. But we've come tonight because we love the Lord. We want to be encouraged by fellowship, by being around like-minded people, and by hearing a word of encouragement from the Lord. So tonight we are blessed to be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, and it is one of the chapters written by Solomon. Like all the Bible, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. So it will impact our minds, our hearts, our beings for good. It gives us instruction in daily things of life on earth, as we live, as we walk out our faith in Christ. So tonight I would like to read a couple of verses from Romans. And it's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And Paul's talking to the Romans here, and it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." So as we spend time in God's word, we're spending time with the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We're spending time with the ultimate teacher, the Spirit of truth. If we have believed in the Son of God and received the gift of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us and teaches us in the things of God that are found in his word, the Bible. So because God has shown us mercies, we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The preparation of the heart. In God's wisdom, he has given us free choice. So we prepare or make plans for our lives. The most important choice is eternal, to believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and to receive the free gift of salvation and forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So as we plan, as we speak, as we act, the final word is from the Lord. Verse 2, All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. So the word tells us that all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. While we are busy with making our plans to fit with our desires, all of our wants, God says they are pure in our own eyes. But if we look at our plans with God's word, we find many times that we have a heart problem. And our motives are off base. We like to deceive ourselves to get what we want. We say to ourselves, that lie wasn't so bad, or the state doesn't need all my tax dollars. The company has lots of money. They will not miss these two stacks of cash. God looks through the lens of his word. So we need to make plans as it lines up with God's word. Verse 3, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. The idea here is to roll all the plans you have, your ministry, your work, even sleep. If you're involved in it, commit it or roll it over on him. And as we do this, he's in charge. So we don't carry around these things of life that create doubts or fears because he is in charge. It's like when we give our sin to God and he gives us mercy and grace. He gives us forgiveness. After that, we don't worry about our destination because we have committed it into his hands, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So we know we're going to heaven when this life is over by death or rapture. We know that we cannot please God without faith. We know that if we take that same faith and commit those problems or roll them over to him, he will take the best care of it and our thoughts will be established. In other words, no worries. The Lord, or verse 4, the Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Well, Exodus 9, 13 through 17. This is a conversation the Lord was telling Moses to speak to Pharaoh about. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time, I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. So God in his mercies give those guys hundreds and hundreds of years to repent and come to him, but they just continued. And I'm so thankful that God is graceful. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy, and he does
show great patience with all of us. I know he has with me. Romans 9, 21 and 22. Does not the potter have power over the clay for the same lump to make one vessel for honor and the other for dishonor? What if God wanted to show his wrath in verse 22? What if God wanted to show his wrath and to make his power known? Endured with much long suffering with the vessels prepared for wrath, for destruction. Back to Proverbs 5. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. The Pharaoh in Moses' time was an abomination to the Lord. He was very proud, and he hardened his heart to God and would not do what the Lord wanted him to do. We know that he was, or that one of the reasons he was destroyed by God, because he because of his pride, yes, excuse me, destroyed by God because of his pride. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. As we consider Pharaoh and Moses' time, we know that that after Egypt was destroyed by plagues and death, he still was so prideful that after he let the people go, he took his army and chased after God's people. And they were all punished by drowning in the Red Sea. So pride is an abomination to God because it stands in the way of a relationship with Him to the point of no relationship with Him, with God. A proud person will not humble themselves before God, but one day every knee will bow in humility. One of the biggest things with pride, it is that it stands in the way of forgiveness. The proud don't admit that they are wrong. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where you come to the realization that you are wrong, and that thing that keeps you from saying, "I'm sorry, I was wrong," it's that pride that just stands up and it makes a just that sweet word of "I'm sorry" just smooths the whole thing out. It's done. It's you get forgiveness, and found myself in that place many times. And my wife and I, we've came up against that several times in our marriage. And whether it was me or her, it was a matter of we now say, once we admit we're wrong, we say to the person that was wrong, we say, "Oh, I was wrong. Oh, great one." And we have a laugh. And it just mellows the whole thing out, and it just changes the whole tone of the relationship with forgiveness. And that's what God wants for each of us. That's what God wants for all those that ever been walked this earth. He wanted that relationship. He wants to forgive them of the things that they've done wrong. Verse 6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for equity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. This speaks of salvation. God shows us mercy and gives us the gift of Jesus. Through him, we receive truth, atonement, and forgiveness of iniquity or sin. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. This talks about love and respect of who God is. And we gain wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as we understand that sin is evil and we depart from it because of love and respect for God. Verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. 1 Peter 2:15 says, "For this is the will of God, by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." In Proverbs 25, 21 and 22, therefore if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Have you ever had somebody that was just being nice to you, and you kind of didn't like them, but they're just being nice to you? It's really hard to not like them. It's really hard to do anything that's not kind to them. You just kind of, now there's a coal on their head. It's melting right out. People say things like, so verse 8, it's better is a little with righteousness than a vast revenue without justice. So 1 Samuel 8:3. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and prevented justice. Let's talk about Samuel's sons. One was named Joel and one was named Abijah. And Samuel made him judges over Beersheba. And after this, the people of Israel asked the king, or asked Samuel, to give him a king like every other nation. And it was because of his voice they were taking bribes, they were perverting justice, and they just, Samuel was, heard about that, but God said it's not about you, Samuel, it's about they want to turn away from me, not you. So it is better to gain whatever it is in a just and right way than to gain something by injustice. Every dishonest thing gain comes with it the beast of burden, that is guilt. But the honest gain, even a little, comes with joy, peace, happiness, and a grateful heart that your needs have been met. The man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. People say things like, oh, he has a good heart. And we know that is a lie, because God's word says our hearts are desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we can easily deceive ourselves with our plans because of our hearts. But if we make plans with God's heart, his word, his mind, we will be starting off on the right foot, headed in the right direction. The word tells us, he directs our steps. Verse 10, divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. The king is charged to say what is righteous and right, not to transgress, not to say a lie. Verse 11, honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. This talks about God's ability to weigh out every situation with perfection. He does it with honest weights and scales. The problem or situation is put on one side of the scale, and the perfect weight is placed on the other. His word is what weighs out everything to perfection yesterday, today, and forever. Also, if we are selling something by weight to others, Our scales better be right. Your weight better be right. Leviticus 19:36-37. You may have, you shall have honest scales, honest weights. An honest ephah, an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Verse 12, it is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. So, a government's been set up by the Lord, and it is an abomination for them to take advantage of the position and do wickedly. Verse 13, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speak what is right. The kings with righteous lips is a delight to those who he speaks, to whom he speaks. This reminds me of King Solomon and the two women and the baby. The one woman's baby dies, and she was claiming the second woman's baby was hers. So Solomon, by the wisdom God had given him, got straight to the heart of the matter. He knew that the mother that the baby belonged to would not agree to having the baby cut in half. And he had no intention of cutting the baby in half, but the wisdom that God gave him the ability to make the righteous judgment. Verse 14, a messenger of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. Verse 15, and the light of the king's face is life, and his favor is like a cloud of the latter rain. Verse 16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is better chosen rather than silver. So wisdom and understanding, God places a very high value on it, high monetary values. It's way far above, beyond those things, like silver and gold. Verse 17, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. This is like a freeway of life with guardrails. The guardrails are the word of God. The upright people know that the word of God keeps them on the right path and spells out so many things to stay away from. We bump into these things and we drive around them. And it's only by the grace of God our souls are preserved. Without the goodness of God, we would turn away. This reminds me of Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This says a prideful person will be destroyed, and someone with a haughty carrying a haughty spirit will fall. A haughty spirit is filled with pride. This pride can affect all of us from time to time. It is a big flashing light in the Word of God. It is mentioned many times. God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13 states, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Verse 19, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. To divide the spoil with the proud means you are in the wrong camp. God hates the proud. They will be destroyed. It is better to be humble with the lowly. Verse 20, he who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord is happy, happy is he. The Word of God is a tool we can use to help us with our daily problems. To use it wisely, we will find good answers to the problems. Verse 21, the wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Verse 22, understanding is a wellspring of life to him who has it, but the correction of fools is folly. We see a big contrast in these two statements. The first statement would refer to the wise or prudent folks, the humble folks, the teachable folks, but the second group would be the prideful people that think that correction is for someone else, not them. When it comes to correction, pride stands in the way, and they are unteachable because they are blinded by the pride and will not hear what is right. Verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and adds learning to his lips. This verse reminds me of Psalms 19:14. Let the words of my lips, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The wise understand that words are important. And what comes out of our mouth and across our lips can lift up and encourage or put down and discourage. So words are important. Verse 24, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. A spoken or written word can be like honeycomb. It brings sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. The key words are pleasant words. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Those that believe in many paths to God are following a path that seems right. So are all the cults. They are on a path that seems right to them. But by their own works, they are working their way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus speaking, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then he will just declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. This is why we need to be telling people about the real Jesus. Verse 26, the person who labors for himself, for his hungry mouth drives him on. Verse 27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. People call this digging up dirt, but it is digging up evil, and it is from the pit of hell, very destructive to the people involved. Verse 28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Words are important. If we are perverse in our ways, we sow strife with our tongues. Verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in the way that is not good. He winks with his he winks his eye and devises perverse things. He purses his lips and brings about evil. Verse 31, a silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. Verse 32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. I'd like to close with Romans 15:13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. It is the light into the path. It is the lamp to our feet, Lord. As we look to your word, it lights up that path. And Lord, help us to be those that are seeking you through your word and prayer, and just join me in those times of fellowship that you've allowed us to have, Lord. And we thank you for this warm house that you've given us to meet in. Just bless these folks as they leave here and while they're here, Lord. And we just love you, thank you, and give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.